terraforming. We don't know exactly how to terraform a world, but we can speculate on how such a thing might be done. For example, what would make the planet Venus fit for human life? Venus is closer to the sun than Earth. Its surface temperature is greater, and its atmosphere, which consists primarily of carbon dioxide, is 100 times thicker than ours. That makes things hotter still. At the surface of our sister planet, temperatures soar to almost 900 degrees. To terraform Venus, our descendants would probably begin by using concentrated solar energy to evaporate most of that planet's excess atmosphere into space. They might steer comets into a collision course with the planet. Comets are made of water ice, and as they crash-landed, they'd melt and leave their water on Venus. Clouds of algae in the atmosphere of Venus could change the remaining carbon dioxide into oxygen, so that someday we could breathe Venusian air. Oceans would begin to form, and after thousands of years, Earthlings might have, on Venus, the beginnings of a new home away from home. For this 10th day of April, that's Stardate. Our show is written by Deborah Bird, and it's produced for the University of Texas McDonald Observatory in Austin, zip 78712. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Here we are.
Yes, here we are.
The voice of Long Island.
I'm Mike. Oh, geez. I'm Mike Juhas. I have a terrible case of hiccups again.
Again? Mike, you get hiccups on the air more than anyone I know.
That's true. Would you turn that music down just a smidgen?
Certainly. Would you like to be turned down with it?
No, not.
Sorry.
Not particularly, no.
I'm Eric Corley, and I don't have hiccups.
Aren't you the lucky one?
Mercifully, yes. Apart from the present moment, though, how has your week been?
Quite good.
Why do you sound so funny all of a sudden?
What do you mean?
You sound kind of distorted.
Well, I'm not really all that distorted, am I?
Oh, I don't know.
No.
Okay, my imagination, I guess.
Only your imagination.
You do sound distorted.
No, not really.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't sound distorted.
I think you do.
Yeah, it's only because... excuse me, only because I'm sending my voice through the equalizer.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Equalizing, huh?
Equalize it, but don't criticize it.
And we don't need no equalizing here, you know.
Ooh, sorry about that.
We don't need no hiccups, neither.
That's true, that's true. That's very true.
A lot of things we don't need around here. So how was your week, anyway? My week was okay. Well, you know, I'll go on record right now saying I made a total fool of myself last week.
Oh, how'd you do that?
Well, don't you remember I said at the very beginning of the show, Mike, I really think spring is here.
Oh, yes.
At last, you know?
Yeah.
And, of course...
Boy, did we get bollocksed up.
What day was that?
That was Tuesday.
Tuesday is when we got
Tuesday's
the snow.
That's when that happened, yeah.
I must admit, I liked it. I liked the idea of something suddenly happening like that.
The only thing I like about springtime snowstorms is they generally don't last that long, like, you know.
Well, it melts so fast.
That's right. And, you know, that's not good either because, well, no, it is good that it melts because all the robins are around and they don't have anything to eat because the ground is covered up with snow.
Yeah, I saw a couple of robins out in the snow and they looked kind of perplexed.
They really did. They certainly did. I thought that... I got a big kick out of that.
It sort of made up for it, though, because their red breasts sort of contrasted with the white snow very nicely, and I think
yes,
they were aware
did.
Of that fact.
Yeah,
it was kind of a nice scene, even though they were starving to death. It happened on Tuesday because I had a show that night, and for that reason I shoveled out my driveway so that I could get out.
Only so you could do your show.
Exactly.
That's dedication for you.
And... when I came back from doing my show, it hadn't snowed anymore, but there was more snow back on the driveway than when I had started.
Oh, really? Is it from the wind?
Yeah, from the wind.
Yeah,
an unbelievable amount of wind that day. It was a blizzard. It really was. A couple of times I was driving along and I'd suddenly get hit with all this flying snow and things. It was kind of frightening.
I was watching the news, was watching Channel 21, and they had a title and behind them that said Blizzard. You know how they have these little titles. Later on, I was watching Channel 30 from New Britain, and they had the exact same Blizzard title.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
I guess somebody makes those and syndicates them to all the TV stations.
Yeah, probably somebody like AP or somebody like that.
Yeah. I was watching Cable News Network, and they were saying, oh, you folks up north, you finally got what was coming to you, you know, because they come out of Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just interesting.
I got a kick out of that.
The way they viewed us and showed us scrambling in the snow.
Scrambling in the snow.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, there was this one footage, one scene where they...
One foot?
Where they showed this person who was doing an unbelievable acrobatic act in the street. He fell down, I think, three different flights of stairs.
Oh, really?
In the outside. But something tells me it wasn't a real person because they just couldn't get somebody, you know, to do it that well.
It sounded like a body falling down the stairs.
No, you didn't hear any sound. You just saw this person, you know, falling backwards and falling forwards and just finally landing with all... He had all these packages, too, so that added to it.
That happens.
Of course, they were spread out all over the street by the time he was finished.
That does happen from time to time.
Yeah. You are distorted. I don't care what you say. Your voice sounds weird.
I take that as a personal affront.
You don't sound the way you usually do. I don't know why. There's something strange about your voice.
Why?
I don't know. Well, you said you were equalizing.
I said equalize, but don't criticize.
Is that so?
Yeah, equalize it, as Peter Tosh would say.
Well, we'll talk about equalizing. So the week was full of snow. We were supposed to have more snow today, but we didn't.
Well, we had some flurries.
A little bit.
Did have some flurries.
You sound like you're coming straight from the weather line over long distance cables or something.
Could be. Could absolutely be.
We were also supposed to get snow, I believe, on Easter Sunday, which would have been fun. But I don't think we will at this point. It's getting warmer.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to most people, is good.
It's not too bad, I don't think.
Snow in April, huh?
Snow in April. On The Voice of Long Island, I'm Mike Uhas with the hiccups.
I'm Eric Corley with a normal voice. You not only have hiccups, Mike, you have something else going on in there.
What?
Something strange with your voice, with the equalizer.
There's absolutely nothing strange with my voice besides my hiccups.
And the fact that I can't seem to hear you anymore. I wonder why I can't hear you. Well, maybe I can make them. Why don't you yell a little bit, Mike? Are you there?
Hello?
There he is. Okay.
Hello.
Hello. You're back. Okay, that's good.
Boy, I tell you.
Well, there have been exciting things going on all over the world. Isn't that true?
That's true with the Falkland Islands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking about that maybe a little bit later on. And there are other worldly events.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like what?
Oh, I'm sure there's something.
That's true. We're going to try to get through to a deli in the Falklands tonight.
We'll see what kind of luck we have with that.
Yeah. And we're going to have a memorable album side. We're going to have another edition of the Tripod Family.
Yeah, and I've heard rumors that there will be a new character introduced tonight on the Tripods.
I don't know why this happens to me.
An anonymous telephone call that said, listen to tonight's Tripod Family.
Oh, really?
For the debut of a brand new character.
Hmm.
Who will change the world of the Tripods into something that they have never, ever experienced before.
Graft?
Oh, I don't know about that. They've experienced graft before.
Yeah, in Big Bear City.
That's true.
Yes, exactly.
That's why they had to leave Big Bear City, I think.
Yeah.
But we're not supposed to know about that anyway. They've done such a good job of keeping it a secret.
Yes, they did. Oh boy. What is this we're listening to right now?
We are listening to a little bit of Gershwin. And
Gershwin?
Yeah, various variations for piano and mm-hmm. orchestra and I Got Rhythm. Right now we're listening to The Creation of the World, which is...
The Creation of the World, huh?
A composition by Darius Milhaud.
Darius Milhaud, huh?
Yeah.
Huh.
You sound like a voice in my head now.
Listen, Eric, don't do that. Don't do that.
Now you don't.
Please don't do that.
Now you do. This is kind of frightening.
What do you mean? I'm talking normal.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah. Am I.
Okay, so...
No problem.
How about instead of all this banter, we get into something.
Okay, what would you like to get into?
You know what I would like...
Tell me.
I would like to hear nothing better than what happened this week in the United Nations.
Perspective, an analysis of a major international issue before the United Nations. This edition is devoted to the development and strengthening of good neighborliness between states.
Since the United Nations was founded in 1945, no less than 150 disputes and conflicts have arisen or have continued between neighboring states. Iran and Iraq, the Soviet Union and China, Somalia and Ethiopia, Honduras and Nicaragua, India and Pakistan, Guyana and Venezuela, Vietnam and Kampuchea, Israel and Egypt, Syria and Israel, Jordan and Israel, to name a few. Some of the conflicts and disputes have been and remain on the agenda of the United Nations. Others are being considered and settled in the context of regional organizations and bilateral agreements. Still others remain unresolved and potentially dangerous. This, in spite of the pledge by member states of the United Nations in the preamble to the Charter, that they would practice tolerance and live together in peace with one another as good neighbors. On the initiative of Romania, supported by a number of other states, the United Nations has been looking into the question of developing and strengthening of good neighborliness between states. Mr. Ion Daucunu of Romania.
Il est indéniable que de nombreux conflits et différends qui existent à présent de par le monde.
There can be no doubt that many of the current conflicts and disputes in the world are rooted in tension and differences between neighboring states and political and military confrontation between them. The promotion of the policy of neighborliness is an imperative need, especially under the present circumstances where the international situation is progressively deteriorating because many existing problems have remained unsolved and because new sources of crises and armed conflicts have emerged in various parts of the world. we are profoundly convinced that the strengthening and expansion of friendship and cooperation between neighbors is the only way to foster the peaceful solution of any problem on the basis of respect for the legitimate interests of all states and all peoples, and on the basis of the fundamental principles which should govern the conduct of states in today's world.
The Rumanian delegate added that it was only in this way that we can avoid the appearance of new areas of discord and a worsening of those already existing, and can usher in a climate in which peace, cooperation, and security are considered and safeguarded as the common heritage of mankind. Why are so many of the disputes and conflicts between neighboring states remain unresolved? What, in fact, are the causes of the disputes and armed conflicts? As Ambassador Del Conio put it in a recent debate on good neighborliness, many of them can be attributed to the continuing arms race, the policy of force and domination practiced by some states, the frequent recourse to intervention and interference in the affairs of others, and the tendency of the powerful to redivide the world into spheres of influence.
Autant de facteurs qui contribuent à stimuler les dissensions.
All of these factors contribute to generating dissension and mistrust between neighbors and the poisoning of their relations. Moreover, colonial domination has left a heritage of particularly complex problems in many countries, including territorial problems, which can be exploited to prevent cooperation between them and to provoke a state of tension or even conflict with particularly serious consequences for the peoples concerned and for world peace.
There are obvious differences of views as to the root causes of certain conflicts and disputes between neighbors, and as to why some of them prevail and remain unresolved. However, there is a consensus that the concept of good neighborliness between states is not only consistent with the principles of the United Nations Charter, it is also an essential element of peace and security. A representative of Nigeria, Mr. C.A. Osa, puts it this way.
The establishment of and the development of good neighborliness between states will, in addition to the strict observance of the principles and purposes of the Charter of the United Nations, breed confidence among nations, which will in turn promote international peace and security.
The Nigerian delegate was among those who expressed support for the initiative taken by the government of Romania and expressed hope that further initiatives will be developed at subsequent sessions of the United Nations General Assembly. Good neighborliness could also be described as a prerequisite for economic development, as we hear from a representative of Mali, Mr. Sheikh Sis.
Partout et de tout temps. Les rapports de bon voisinage.
Everywhere and always, relations of good neighborliness have been perceived as a stabilizing element in human relations, one which covers various fields and functions in a universal or a specific framework, broad or narrow, regional or local, with obvious implications. Without good neighborliness, there can be no peace. Without peace, there can be no security or development.
Political, ideological, and social differences could impede the development and strengthening of good neighborliness. In the view of Albania, good neighborliness is possible and essential in spite of such differences. Ambassador Abdi Baletta.
For the pays voisins, l'établissement et le développement des rapports.
For neighboring countries, the establishment and development of relations based on the good neighbor policy are a necessity, despite social differences or differences in levels of development, types of regime, and the political or ideological options that may exist. The establishment and development of good neighborly relations benefit both regional and general peace and security, and contribute to bringing and preserving friendship among peoples, and to eliminating and preventing the causes and likelihood of tension and conflict.
It is the duty of every state, the Albanian delegate told the General Assembly, to strive sincerely and in good faith to cast aside everything that could endanger the establishment and normal development of good neighborly relations. At the request of the United Nations General Assembly, governments have forwarded to the Secretary General their written views and suggestions on good neighborliness and on ways and modalities of enhancing it, with the aim of preventing conflicts and increasing confidence among states, particularly neighboring states. Common to almost all of them is the call for the adherence to such broad principles as non-intervention, non-interference, non-use of force, and peaceful settlement of disputes. Some suggestions have also referred to such specifics as the conclusion of extradition treaties, cooperation in combating international terrorism, and the facilitation of cross-border traffic. From those communications from governments and from the recent debate on the question, two broad approaches can be identified. First, the promotion of good neighborliness implies the observance of certain principles and obligations. In other words, there are certain things which states should refrain from doing if they are interested in developing and strengthening good neighborliness. The first duty of every state towards its neighbors, observed a member of the Greek delegation, Ambassador Emmanuel Megalonokomos, is to respect scrupulously their independence, sovereignty, and territorial integrity.
This duty contains in particular the obligation to refrain from any act which might be considered as a violation or threat to violate frontiers. And we mean by that not only land frontiers, but sea and airspace areas as well, as defined in bilateral or multilateral treaties and by the international law. Among acts to be avoided, we also like to mention any threat or use of force, intervention, invasion or occupation, as well as any act which might reasonably be interpreted by the country concerned as a threat to its national interests, and therefore hindering the promotion of cooperation between neighbors.
Respect for the principle of self-determination has also been identified as a way of strengthening good neighborliness. Miss Amada Segarra of the delegation of Ecuador.
En la relación de buena vecindad están involucrados.
Good neighborly relations involve, in addition, respect for the principle of the equality of all states before the law, the principle of non-interference in the internal affairs of other states, the principle of self-determination of peoples, and the principles of the protection and promotion of human rights. All these principles play an important role in good neighborly relations, because, in fact, geographical proximity intensifies relations between bordering states and puts to the test, with growing frequency, respect for the guiding principles of international life.
In its communication to the Secretary General, Ecuador emphasized that relations of good neighborliness are nothing more than relations of friendship and cooperation among those states which are most closely bound by geographic proximity or by the fact that they belong to regional systems which operate according to certain principles. Most of the principles which enhance and strengthen good neighborliness, such as non-interference, respect for sovereignty and territorial integrity, have been incorporated in international and bilateral treaties, agreements, and declarations. A further step in enhancing good neighborliness, according to Ambassador Kenneth Adelman of the United States, is to respect and implement those documents.
The pertinent question is not whether a nation supports principles of good neighborliness. All nations do, as I say. But rather whether a nation adheres to principles of good neighborliness, and not all nations do. There is a great deal more, Mr. Chairman, to being a good neighbor than to pledge it on a piece of paper. The United States hopes that the practice of good neighborliness among nations will flourish, that it will enjoy increasing acceptance and respect.
The American representative also observed that a truly good neighbor encourages the free exchange of people and of ideas with neighbors. It does not resort to massive armed intervention. Another approach to the question of good neighborliness between states has been what one African delegate described as the institutionalization of good neighborly relations on the political, economic, social, and cultural levels, namely sub-regional economic commissions, joint commissions for the utilization and development of river basins and other natural resources, and cultural visits and exchanges. A member of the Sudanese delegation, Ambassador El Faki Abdallah El Faki, mentions, for instance, what his country has been doing in this regard.
ولعل هو جدير بذكر أن للسودان
Perhaps we should state here that Sudan, along with its neighbors such as Egypt, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, and Zaire, have established joint ministerial committees to carry out the planning and supervision of all collective ventures in various political and security fields, as well as in the solution of problems relating to refugees. This has helped promote economic, cultural, and artistic cooperation among all these countries. We have also held summit meetings with the heads of state of the neighboring countries to promote better opportunities for cooperation, good relations, and the development of common potential in the interest of all peoples.
Before the United Nations General Assembly takes up the matter again, it is expected that more governments would have submitted their views and suggestions to the Secretary General on good neighborliness and ways of enhancing it. The Assembly would like to examine and clarify the elements of good neighborliness. As we hear from a representative of Singapore, Mr. Peter Chan Jae Hing, there is the possibility of including those elements in a legal document.
We are aware that there is some concern that good neighborliness does not correspond to any concept in international law. And even if it acquires legal status, there will be a certain skepticism that, like most other international laws, a legal code on good neighborliness would be broken as and when it suits the selfish interests of any nation. Nevertheless, there are still good reasons for us to start giving the concept of good neighborliness some legal content.
In a world where acts of aggression against neighboring states have always been justified by some lofty principle or the other, the Singapore delegate declared, a well-defined concept of good neighborliness would assist the United Nations in judging the rights and wrongs of the issue. Secondly, it is the hallmark of civilized men to regulate their relations with each other according to a set of laws or a recognized code of ethics.
With that comment by Mr. Hang of Singapore, we end this edition of Perspective, produced by United Nations Radio.
The overture is about to start. You cross your fingers and hold your hearts. It's curtain time and away we go. Another opening of another show.
Down the coast, kicking out the snow. You nearly lost and we're lost to go.
Good evening, Mr. Carty. May I help him?
Yes, operator. We're going to be making a... first of all, we need long-distance information. We need for the Falkland Islands. We're looking in the city Stanley. Could you connect us up to information operator?
Where?
The Falkland Islands.
It's in South America.
You may have to go through Argentina.
All right. Hold on. I'll give you the operator.
Thank you.
Argentina.
Thank you.
Mr. Halinka, may I help you?
Yes, we're calling for, this is TS. TS, we need the routing for the Falkland Islands, Argentina.
One moment, please. Okay, operator, is there a city in the Falkland Islands that they're trying to reach? Because I don't have Falkland Islands listed in Argentina.
It's in Stanley, sir.
Stanley, okay.
Stanley, yes.
It's funny, I don't have Stanley listed either. Check this first page.
Could you just look under Falkland, F-A-L-K-L-A-N-D?
I already did, sir. Not listed there. They're islands, so you would have to know the city on the island that we're looking for.
Well, Stanley's the capital. In fact, it's the only city there.
What was the capital?
Stanley.
Stanley?
Stanley.
S-T-A-N-L-E-Y?
Yeah.
I don't have Stanley in Argentina. Let me check one other place here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Falkland Islands 160 plus 016, operator.
160,
016.
Right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Sounds so official.
International country.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, we're looking for the Falkland Islands. In Stanley. I've got a terrible case of hiccups tonight. In Stanley, we're looking for Oscar's All Night Kosher Deli.
I'm sorry, what was that?
We're looking for Oscar's All Night Kosher Deli.
In the Falkland Islands?
Yes, we are.
Do they have food to go?
It's a good question.
I was wondering why you're calling that deli. I'm only kidding. I'm sorry, sir, but all the circuits... We're not reaching any circuits right now to the Falkland Islands. And we have to go through information for your number.
Oh,
that's okay.
Could we do that?
Oh.
Pardon me?
Okay, it was Oscar's All Night...
Kosher Deli.
Kosher?
Kosher, yeah. I think there's two Oscar's delis there. This was the Kosher Deli.
One moment, please.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're not supposed to say you're welcome.
One moment, please.
Thank you, operator.
You're welcome. You just want the number for this?
Well, if we could call them, I think that would probably be a good idea if we can call them now, save some trouble.
One moment, please.
Before things get out of hand over there. Someone's got to do something.
That's true. Will you stop shooting me with rubber bands? How can we explain this? Now you got a roll of toilet paper, huh?
I find the strangest things in radio studios. But try finding a pen. Oh, you found
one. I'm sorry, sir, but we're not reaching any circuits in the Falkland Islands right now.
What, is that because of the crisis that they're having down there, do you know? Or is
Could
that
be,
just...
but I'm not really sure, but they can't reach a circuit there.
Oh, gosh.
Would you suggest that we try later?
You can try.
Do you think we'll get anywhere later on tonight?
I'm not really sure.
Okay, operator, well, you've been very helpful.
Oh, okay.
Have a good evening.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Well, so much for that. We'll try that again later on, I guess.
On the Voice of Long Island.
Live. Thank you. They're playing our song, Mike.
Yeah, that's right. That's the Penguin Cafe Orchestra.
The Penguin Cafe Orchestra?
The Penguin Cafe Orchestra.
Well, how about that? What's the name of the tune?
Something about being a telephone or something like that.
Well, I'll tell you, that operator really thought it was funny when we were trying to get through to Oscar's all-night kosher deli, but I don't see anything funny about it.
No, it isn't. Well, we're looking for public opinion in Stanley, actually.
Stanley and Falkland Islands, because...
That's right.
They have kosher delis over there. I mean, what's so funny about that? They got to eat, you know?
She wanted some food to go. I don't know where her mind was.
I wonder where she was.
That's another very good question. Say,
what is going on with your voice?
Nothing. How many people live in the Falkland Islands anyway?
About 1,950 or so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how many live in Stanley?
About 1,100.
That's very interesting.
So there's only about 700 or so people who don't live in the capital.
Uh-huh. And where do they live? In little farms scattered throughout the countryside?
Yeah, on the beach, you know, and boathouses, all that kind of thing.
Yeah. How many square miles are the Falkland Islands?
I am not certain on that. I really am not. It's not very big.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how big it is. Whatever I say, I'm going to be wrong, so I'm not going to say anything.
That's true. We'll try getting through the Falkland Islands a little bit later on for you, of course, on The Voice
of Long Island. But what are you doing to your voice, Mike?
What do you mean? What am I doing to my voice?
It sounds all funny, like you're doing something crazy to it.
Like going through an equalizer?
I told you before, we don't need no equalizer.
Sure we do.
welcome, you never seem to change. Your grades have set your leisure, romantic sets you straight. My eagle flies tomorrow, it's a game I treasure, dear. To seek the helpless future, my love at last, I'm here. Take me, I'm yours, because dreams are
we just got word that we'll be receiving a special report from none other than Sidney Schreiber very shortly. Yeah, Sidney Schreiber, a very popular person around here at the station. So while we're freaking out and everything, Sidney Schreiber will call us up probably right after we dance the night away or something crazy like that. Sidney Schreiber, and tonight we're on the south shore of Long Island over at Smith's Point Beach. Now, I'll bet you're wondering who would be crazy enough to be out here on a Friday night in the middle of winter. Well, get ready for a surprise, because there are nearly 20 cars here in the parking lot, and each one of them seems to have at least two people inside. So that gives us plenty of Long Islanders to talk with, so let's go right over and meet them. Well, here's one of those nice-looking vans that we'd all like to get one day. Let's see who's inside. Hello? Could you open up the window, please?
What the hell do you want?
We'd just like to chat with you as a fellow Long Islander. Maybe you can tell us about this van of yours. It really looks like a nice model, and it's,
Yes, it is a very nice van, and I'd appreciate it if you keep your cotton-picking hands away from it.
Well, you seem to be very protective of your van, and I can't say I blame you. How about telling us why you brought your van to this parking lot by the beach on a Friday night?
Hey, I mean, if you can't figure that out for yourself, I'm sure as hell not going to explain it to you.
All right, that seems reasonable. But perhaps you'd like to discuss...
Listen, what is your problem? Are you some kind of a pre-bird or something? Get out of here and leave us alone before I call the cops.
Well, why don't we just move on and talk to some more Long Islanders? I see a sports car over there. It looks like there's something going on inside it. Why don't we just walk over there and see what kind of people we can meet? Oh, it's a nice night tonight. It looks like we might be getting a little rain, but that would be a welcome relief. Oh, here we are. And would you believe it? The window to the sports car is open. That's how warm it is tonight. Let's look inside and see what's going on. Hello. What are you two people doing? What's wrong? We seem to have upset these people. I don't really know what's going on. Oh, it looks like they're getting ready to leave. Well... It was nice visiting with you, and maybe we'll see you again someday. Yes, maybe we'll do that. Long Islanders are so fascinating sometimes. Let's go over to this pickup truck and see if these people can let us know what the big event is here tonight. Hello, sir. Can you step out of the truck for a minute, please?
What's the matter? What's going on? Are you a cop or something? Listen, I didn't do nothing. I was just...
No, we're not the police. We're Radio Free Long Island.
Well, what the hell does that mean?
It means, sir, that you're on the radio right now, and this is your chance to tell our listeners just what you're doing and why you're here.
I'm on the radio? Now?
That's right, sir. And I can see that news excites you a little, but don't worry. The fact that millions of people are listening to your every word wears off after a couple of minutes.
Well, listen, pal, I don't want to be on the radio. What am I? My wife is listening.
I'm sure she'd be very proud of you. Now, I was going to ask you your name, but I see you have it printed on your jacket. You're Rodney McCleskey, is that right?
Oh, no.
And who's this lovely lady you have with you?
Oh, that's it. I'm going to kill you. You just destroyed my entire life. Go at it, buddy.
Well, I certainly seem to have hit a sore spot there. I'd like to talk about it a little bit more, but I'm afraid we're out of time right now. Radio Free Long Island, this is Sidney Schreiber over at Smith's Point Park.
Let me in. I'm going to spread that microphone of yours in the ocean. I'm going to throw you right after it, pal.
Could you please try to calm down for a minute, Mr. McCleskey? I don't think the guys at the studio turned off my mic yet.
Well, I'll be happy to do their work for them. Let me have that thing.
Hey, get your hands off my microphone. I had that specially engraved. What do you think you're doing?
You're going in the water, baby.
Hey, come back.
Where's the microphone?
Thank you. This is Paul Wing, and I've come to tell you the story of Little Black Sambo and the twins. Once upon a time, Little Black Sambo's father, whose name was Black Jumbo, gave Little Black Sambo a big hammer and a lot of long nails and some pieces of wood. So, of course, Little Black Sambo started to build a house for himself. He was building it right close to the edge of the deep jungle around his father's house. And while he was busy working, he heard someone calling him. Little Black Sambo, Little Black Sambo. Well, he looked up and saw his mother, whose name was Black Mumbo, standing at the door. So he called back to her. Yes, mother, what is it? And Black Mumbo said, you come here and you'll see. So Little Black Sambo ran to the house. And there he saw two of the cutest little black twins that ever were. Two little black babies lying in a big basket. Little Black Sambo was so surprised his eyes almost popped right out of his head. And he was even more surprised when Black Mumbo said, they're yours, Little Black Sambo. They're your little twin brothers. And Little Black Sambo said, oh, how wonderful. I shall call them Little Black Wolf and Little Black Moose. At first, Little Black Wolf and Little Black Moose were so tiny that all they could do was lie in their basket. But they got bigger and bigger. Until pretty soon they were big enough to take hold of Little Black Sambo's hands and go walking with him. They didn't stop there either. They got still bigger. Until they were big enough for him to give them their bath and their supper of bread and milk. And on their first birthday, Little Black Sambo gave Little Black Wolf a little china mug with W-O-O-F painted on it. And that, of course, spells Wolf. And he gave Little Black Moose a little china mug with M-O-O-F painted on it. And that naturally spells Moose. And on their next birthday, he gave Little Black Wolf a beautiful long red sash to wear around his waist. And he gave Little Black Moose a beautiful long blue sash to wear around his waist. Then didn't Little Black Wolf and Little Black Moose look grand? One day, Little Black Sambo was out in the yard playing horse with Little Black Wolf and Little Black Moose. When Black Mumbo called him, Little Black Sambo, she called, please go into the jungle and fetch me some sticks. I want to roast this leg of mutton for dinner, and I haven't enough wood. So Little Black Sambo, 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 beautiful little blue trousers on, but he didn't want to spoil them. And he ran off into the jungle to fetch some sticks. And he left Little Black Wolf and Little Black Moose by the door, playing with their little china mugs. And just then, it got to be time for you to put on the next record, so I can tell you what happened after that. Thank you.
This rather strange stuff to which you're listening is from the Rhythm Devils, from their River Music album, the Apocalypse Now Sessions. And Eric has something to say, and he stumbles in. Oh, yes, I'll plug in your headphones. What do you have to say, anyway?
Oh, it's cold outside. That's what I have to say.
3 degrees Celsius. It's 37 Fahrenheit.
Yeah. It's not a night to be outside.
So why are you, then?
I'm not. I'm here. I'm back.
Oh, okay. Why were you out?
Oh, no particular reason. I just wanted to have something to talk about when I came back. And I do.
You
it's
know
cold
what
outside.
You know what I want to talk about?
What's that?
The brand new USB program guide. They're green.
They're green, yes, and they have little flowers on them. Not real flowers, of course, drawn flowers.
They're very nice. They're outdated, but they're nice.
Well, they get outdated about 5 minutes after they're made, usually.
Oh, usually before that.
Sometimes before they're made.
Yeah. Because we're always shifting things around here at 90.1 FM.
Because there are so many things to shift around.
We are rather, shall we say, diverse.
Yes. That would be a good slogan, in fact.
What?
WUSB. We have lots of things to shift around.
So good we sell without a slogan.
That too. I like that one best.
Yeah, that one I got from an old National Lampoon, I believe.
Oh,
and between all those Rhythm Devils things, we heard something from, what was it, Little Black Sambo or something.
Where
like.
Did that come from? And what? Where
Three
did it
mysterious
go?
Strangers walked through the door here and said, hey, play this.
Sure. Well, it's right through the door, and I'm going to tell you something. Those doors are expensive. We're going to have to...
We're going to have to fix them. That's true.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Walking through doors. We don't need that.
No, we don't.
But we want to thank them for bringing that up.
That's true.
Very nice to hear that.
We heard side one. Unfortunately, it's a two-record set, four sides, and side two and three were missing. So we didn't play side four, because we would have missed a lot.
That's true, but I think we could have caught up somehow. Maybe we can play it again.
That's true. It's the same thing as if you watch General Hospital. You can watch it like twice a year. Did you watch General Hospital today?
I went by and I saw the sign for it. It said General Hospital, and I heard the music.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I got caught up on that.
It was an exciting episode today. I never watch it. But I had somebody over who wanted to watch it, so we watched it. And, let's see. Poor Luke thinks Laura...
Poor Duke?
No, poor Luke.
Poor Luke.
Poor Luke thinks... Well, he doesn't believe it, but everybody else thinks that Laura was drowned when a big ship hit their little boat.
Well, what does Laura have to say about that?
Well, you see, she doesn't want to be in the show anymore, so they had to write her out of the script somewhere.
I see.
Can you imagine if Kathy Tripod didn't want to be in the Tripods? What would happen to her?
Well, you see, that's the nice thing about what they come up with out there in Big Bear City. They're not very egotistical, and they're not very material-minded.
Right, so
they do it because they enjoy doing it.
That's right, and they basically do it as a voluntary service, right?
I do believe they get paid a nominal sum, but...
Really? How come we never see any?
Well, we're just one of the outlets.
Oh.
But they're the stars.
Do they get residuals, too, from Tuesday and Thursday night rebroadcasts?
I don't think they even know about those.
Oh.
Maybe we shouldn't tell them.
Okay, we won't tell them. But we can tell you folks.
Yeah.
Tuesday and Thursday nights, you can hear the old Tripods. We're catching up, though.
The first Tripods.
Yes. The Forsyth Saga. The Tripod Saga. Something like that, yeah.
That'd be great, the Tripod Saga.
Hmm.
Yeah, but if you've missed some Tripod episodes, then that's the perfect way to catch up on them is tune in Tuesdays and Thursday nights at about
10:15 or so.
Yeah, and you hear some of the old ones.
On your program on Thursdays and my program on...
No, my program on Tuesdays, your program on Thursdays.
Right.
That's what you said.
That's what I meant to say.
Something like that.
Well, yeah. Who are you?
Me, I'm Eric Corley, and you're...
Mike Uhas.
Right.
And this station is...
WUSB Stony
Brook.
Would you like to make another attempt to go through to Peter Falkland Islands?
Okay. There's only one thing, though. I think Oscar's all-night kosher deli.
Maybe closed for the night. No, that doesn't make sense.
No, I think it may not be in Stanley, or Port Stanley. It may be in Darwin.
All right, and we also had a suggestion from a listener.
That's true.
We call it by the Argentinian name.
Right.
Las Malvinas?
It's Malvinas.
Malvinas. that might get us places. Now, I want to say right now we're not endorsing anything. We're not endorsing, you know, anyone's side of view here. We're just trying to get through to the island and to a place that we believe exists out there, Oscar's All Night Deli and
Kosher Deli.
Kosher Deli on the Falkland Islands. So let's give it another.
Good morning, Mr. Geary. May I help you?
Yes, operator. We need international. We want to try to get through the Falkland Islands off the coast of Argentina, please.
All right. Let me see if we have a routing for that. One moment. I'll check, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wait. Cheery, operator.
Operators can be so helpful.
Do you have all the numbers to dial, sir?
No, actually, we do need to find out the name, the number of the place.
All right, well, but I'll check my routing first. I don't even have a routing for it. One moment.
Thank you. We tried before. They told us to try later.
Oh, yeah, I imagine the circuits are pretty well tried out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so we need other things, routing to the Falkland Islands. That's off the coast of Argentina.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's 160+016.
All right, thank you. I'll ring that up right now for you, sir.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome, sir.
Yes, we're looking for the Falkland Islands.
Mm-hmm.
The Falkland Islands off the coast of Argentina?
Yes, sir. All the circuits are going to the Falkland Islands are out of order.
Out of order?
They're all out of order.
For how long?
I don't know, sir. They've been out of order for the past couple of days.
Oh, gee.
Out of order until we get further notice.
Do you think that's related to the crisis that's going on down there?
Well, I haven't any idea, sir.
Hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much, then.
Okay.
Have a good evening.
Thank you.
That's life. I don't know what we're going to do.
Maybe morning where he is.
Well, where would he be?
So you should just say good day.
Yes, good day.
Eh?
Eh? Well, it's morning where we are.
Well, that's true, too. So we're really not saying right for anybody.
Unless
folks out in California, but they're not listening anyway. They never do.
How do you know?
Because.
How do you know?
They never call us. That's why. Hey.
That's true. How do you know we're not on somebody's cable system out in
California?
Oromino, California.
I'd like to know that.
I'd like to know that, too. Are we on any cable systems out here?
I don't think so.
We're going to have to look into that.
We're working on it.
Yes.
We're working on it. But some people have told us they've received us on their TV sets a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But we don't want to do that.
I had one fellow call me up one time. He said, His stereo is hooked up to a cable. Whenever he wanted to listen to USB, he had to go out in his car and listen in his driveway.
That's awful.
He called up in November when it was really very cold. Well, it's rather chilly out there now, 3 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, that's not nice.
37 Fahrenheit.
Well, people shouldn't have to resort to that kind of a thing to listen to USB. It should be a lot easier to listen to USB.
Speaking about
USB, call your local cable company and say, hey, why isn't USB on the cable?
Why don't we call a local cable company now? Do you have a number?
I don't think they're open.
Well, who's putting the programming over?
Well, they don't need cable people there to put programs over. The machines do it themselves.
That's true.
You want to talk to a machine?
Now, speaking about machines, we were beginning to babble about the new green spring USB program guides. Now, to get them, you can go down to your local store. No.
How did we get from the program guides to the Falkland Islands to machines and back?
I don't know, but in any event, if you want one of your very own, you can call us. We'll put you on our mailing list.
Our vast mailing list.
That's very true. You're quite intimately involved with that vastness, aren't you?
Yes, I am. It's a huge place in there.
And if it was half as big as what it is now, it would only be half vast.
Yeah.
Call us up at 246-7901.
Area code
516.
On Long Island, in Stony Brook.
And you don't have to go through any routing codes of 160-061.
You can if you want to, I guess.
Go via the Falkland Islands.
I guess that pretty much ends now. We can't do anything if the circuits are out of busy. Mm. Out of order forever.
Well, the only thing we're going to have to do is call up Margaret Thatcher and ask her opinion.
Yeah.
Mm.
What about Oscar's All Night Kosher Deli, though? What are we going to do about that?
Are they in Stanley, or are they, in fact, in Darwin?
Well, it doesn't really matter now.
Hmm.
We can't get through to them? Well, we have a mind to have a war down there, and there's no way we can talk to Oscar anymore.
Mm. All righty. Well, in that case, we just might as well continue. We got the tripods coming up. And
oh, yes. Very soon.
Very soon. And we have this other blue thing up in there.
And I got another call from someone saying that there's they had an anonymous tip that there will be a new character.
A new character in the tripods. Hmm.
I'd like to know more about that.
That should be good. I wonder if he's from the Falkland Islands.
Wow.
That might be a coincidence there.
That's something to think about.
It certainly is. 246-7901 is the number if you want to talk to us, if you want to get yourself on the mailing list for a program guide, or you can send us a self-addressed stamped envelope. Mail it to address your address to WUSB Program Guide, State University of New
York
at Stony
Brook.
Stony Brook, New
York.
11794. In
the
meantime, we got some music, so keep it here on The Voice
of Long Island.
Sealed permission from the Three Village Tobacco Farms proudly presents the adventures of the Tripod family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. Last time as we left the Tripods, Pop had just received a letter from the armed forces asking him to enlist. And as we tune in on them this time, we hear Howard say,
Pop, that has to be a mistake. Why would the Air Force want you of all people to enlist?
Because they realize what an asset I am. What do you think?
First of all, Pop, you already served your time back in World War II. Remember? Now, where were you stationed, anyhow?
How could I ever forget those days? That was the highlight of my life, you know. We were stationed over in Hungary.
Oh.
And boy, let me tell you, we were the toughest bunch of soldiers they had over there.
All right. Now, you know that. and I'm sure the Air Force knows that. So why bother making plans?
Hold on a second, Pop. I don't think I've ever heard of a country called Hungaria.
Are you sure you're saying it right?
I think she's right about that, Pop. Kathy was a geography major, you know.
Now, just what are you trying to imply? That I'm a liar or something?
Oh, no.
I think I can be trusted to remember where I spent my days as a soldier.
Well, no, Pop, but perhaps...
Defending the honor and the glory of the United States of America.
Okay, all right. Let's not get carried away over a silly name.
Yes, I don't have the time for that anyway. I've got to go across the street to help Victor get ready for the primary.
I really wish you wouldn't go out in this weather, Kathy. But at least take the umbrella.
Oh, all right, Howard. Gosh, I'm only going across the street. Sheesh. You're always worrying. You're always worrying.
She's got one heck of a nerve calling me a liar.
Oh, Pop, stop it. She didn't call you a liar. She just never heard of Hungaria before. And neither have I. You must mean Hungary.
I do not. I was there. I ought to know.
Well, we're still evading the issue, Pop. Now, just because you got this form letter from the Air Force doesn't mean you have to run out and join.
Why not?
Well, think of all the responsibilities you have right here at home.
Oh, to hell with them.
Oh, Pop.
No, I've had enough of suburbia. I want to see the world. Travel to faraway, distant places. Meet exotic, extravagant people. That's my kind of life.
Pop, I think you finally lost your mind.
Step aside, Howard. I'm calling my local recruitment office to let them know I accept.
Well, I'm not going to stand in your way, Pop. I've spent enough time trying to keep you from making a complete fool of yourself. If you want to try to enlist in the Air Force, go right ahead. Oh, hi, Victor. Come in out of the rain. What are you doing over here? Kathy's over at your house, isn't she?
Hey, Victor!
Mr. Tripod? No, Kathy isn't over at my house. That's what I came over to talk to you about. I just saw her go driving away with Stanley Steinstein.
And so, as Pop decides to rejoin the armed forces, a new mystery enshrouds the tripods. Why is Kathy going away with Stanley Steinstein? You'll want to tune in next time when we'll hear Howard say...
You must mean Stanley Steinstein.
That's next week on the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka. From the storm.
The Second World War We forgave the Germans, and then we were friends. Though they murdered 6 million in the ovens they fried, the Germans now to have God on their side. I've learned to hate the Russians all through my whole life. If another war comes, it's them we must fight. To hate them and fear them, to run and to hide, and accept it all bravely with God on my side. But now we got weapons of chemical dust. If five of them were forced to, then five of them we must. One push of the button, they shot the world wide. And you never ask questions when God's on your side. Through many dark hours, I've been thinking about this, that Jesus Christ was betrayed by a kiss. But I can't think for you, you'll have to decide whether Judas Iscariot had God on his side. So now as I'm leaving, I'm weary as hell. The confusion I'm feeling, ain't no tongue can tell. The words fill my head and fall to the floor. But if God's on our side, he'll stop the next war.
Amen. Bob Dylan there.
Bob Dylan, and I got the hiccups again.
Oh, boy. Album's called The Times They Are A-Changing with God on Our Side, we heard, and also from Bob Dylan, from the Budokan LP, Shelter from the Storm. Sounds a little different live, but...
Yeah, sure did.
That's Bob Dylan, all right.
Yeah.
I saw Bob Dylan once.
You did?
Yeah, live in concert, and... Yeah, I was very far away. I was, I think, in the very last possible seat you can be in Madison Square Garden.
Really?
And he was like a little dot. But I could hear his voice.
That's good.
And his instruments and everything.
Uh-huh.
And various things like that. And all the people around. That was my only experience.
Yeah.
Seeing Bob Dylan live. But
we have a bunch of new albums that we're going to get to in just a second.
Yes. Yes.
This first one is by a woman by the name of Kristen Lems. And she is, sorry about these hiccups, she's doing something that's indicative of what we would do here. The album is called In the Outdoor.
Yeah, and the cover is very interesting.
The front cover shows a picture of her walking into a building next to a big permanent sign that says building closed.
They're exactly like the signs they have here in front of every building on campus here at Stony Brook, except it says building closed, and I think that's very interesting to have a building with a permanent sign that says building closed.
And on the back it shows they're walking on a street that says... why don't you say it?
Okay. She's walking on a sidewalk, it looks like, right next to a street. And there's this big permanent sign and exactly the same writing that says pedestrians prohibited on this road. And it's funny, the way she's walking towards it, you see her back. She's walking right into the sign as if her head's going to hit it.
She's very defiant, just like we are.
I'll say.
Mike Juhas here.
Step on the foot of authority. And I'm Eric Corley right here.
On the voice of?
Long Island.
Yeah.
There's some authority over there, Mike. Why don't you step on it?
Yeah.
It's not that hard. In the Outdoor is the name of the LP. It looks pretty interesting.
What's the name of this cut you're going to play?
I am going to play something called Chicago Calypso.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Good.
And we have a very special album site coming up at 2 o'clock, so you want to tune in for that.
Stay tuned.
And we've got a very special newscast at 1:55.
Yeah.
And a very special everything coming up later.
Sooner, if not later.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, let's take it away with
246-7901.
If you're out there, please call.
Yeah. Let's take it away.
Area code?
Yes, 516. Kristen Lems.
Kristen Lems.
The voice
of Long Island. Oh, there's our new turntable for you.
One beat. You got one beat out of it, huh?
Let's try that again.
Try the little green button.
Oh, okay. We'll go into the news in just a couple of minutes. Right now, here's something brand new from Dave Edmunds. That's called Bail You Out, brand new from Dave Edmonds off an album called D.E. Seventh.
Yeah.
Here on the Voice of Long Island.
Well, it's about, what is it? It's
1:56, I'd say.
Yeah, time for the 1:55 news. It's 3 degrees in Celsius in Stony Brook. That's 37 Fahrenheit. I'm Mike Uhas. Eric Crowley's in the other room. I've got the hiccups, so bear with me. Senior U.S. officials fear an Israeli attack on Palestine Liberation Organization bases in Lebanon could come soon, but the administration officials say they have nothing concrete to base those fears on. Similar concerns have arisen twice recently, but nothing happened either time. Argentina presented a formal complaint against Britain to the United Nations Security Council on Friday. The South American nation says Britain's declaration of a war zone around the Falkland Islands is an act of aggression. Argentina's UN ambassador did not ask for a debate on the matter. He told reporters his nation feels entitled to use its self-defense rights under the UN Charter. Argentina has ignored a Security Council call for withdrawal from the islands. It seized them from Britain last Friday. Secretary of State Haig is in Argentina following talks with the British officials in London. He's hoping to get the two nations to settle their differences without fighting. About 6,000 villagers in southeast Mexico are said to have ignored warnings that a volcano in their area may erupt again. The mayor of the community 23 miles from the volcano says people have returned to their ash-covered homes. The army has had to suspend efforts to reach nearly 5,000 people believed trapped on the volcano slopes. Thickening smoke halted the rescue effort. House Majority Leader Jim Wright thinks it would be good for a new government in El Salvador to include all of the parties in proportion to the votes they received, similar to what we do in the United States. Elections were held in El Salvador late last month. Their constituent assembly to be seated on April 30th will have a majority from four right-wing parties. But the Texas Democrat thinks rightists may be willing to include moderates in a national unity government. Wright left El Salvador Friday after heading a visiting congressional delegation.
Oh boy, Mike, you're doing that deliberately.
What?
You had 13 hiccups in that part of the news.
No, I'm sorry, I couldn't.
That's a station record, you know. 14. Well, that's not part of the newscast.
This guy's name is Jim Wright.
I wish I had the hiccups. Instead, I got the giggles now because I'm listening to you.
This guy's name is Jim Wright, and it says Wright left El Salvador Friday.
Well, that was somebody's idea of a joke back at the transmission point. But any event, police and prosecutors in Miami are miffed at the State Department for granting diplomatic immunity to a Saudi Arabian prince and his wife. Both are accused of assaulting police officers in an incident more than a month ago. The State Department says the Saudi government asked for the diplomatic immunity, but hasn't yet explained what the couple's diplomatic function is. The Saudi royal family includes about 5,000 princes. A young couple in Michigan has been ordered to stand trial on a charge of involuntary manslaughter. They're accused of withholding medical help from their infant daughter as she died in their suburban Lansing apartment. A prosecutor says the parents have religious beliefs against seeing doctors. An Air Force training jet went down in the Pacific Ocean off Hawaii Friday, but the Air Force says the two men aboard the T-33 ejected safely. Some scientists in Ventura, California are as proud as new parents. They report a pair of rare condors has produced a new egg. In February, the birds got into a fight and destroyed the only condor egg known to have been produced since last winter. Fewer than 30 birds survive of the nearly extinct species. Long live the condors. Mike?
A British company is offering its subscribers a cross between Pac-Man and the Evening News, a video game challenging players to sink the Argentine Navy as it sails on the Falkland Islands. A video screen tells a player that you are the commander of the HMS Mercury 332, a British submarine in the South Atlantic. You suddenly spot the Argentine fleet steaming toward the defenseless
Falkland Islands. The honor of the nation is in your hands. You must succeed. The game, called Obliterate, is being made available to the 16,000 subscribers of British Telecom's Prestel service. The service generally provides driver information, such as dryer information, such as financial news to home and office computers worldwide. Excuse me. As the flagship of the Argentine Navy moves across the screen, the player uses a typewriter-like keyboard to estimate the distance and the time of explosion before launching a torpedo toward its target. A direct hit destroys the flagship. Prestel, one of the largest companies in the video text electronic publishing field, provides subscribers with information from the Wall Street Journal, a newsletter published by Merrill Lynch and Company, Newsweek magazine, and other financial, trade, travel, and entertainment sources.
Okay, you got 11 on that one, Mike. Too shy of the record.
Plus a burp.
Yeah, I didn't count that deliberately. Would you like me to count that?
No, we'll see how I do in the next item.
Okay, all right, we'll try you again later. Well, New York City police say 15 anti-nuclear protesters, including activist Daniel Berrigan, were arrested yesterday outside a research foundation after a Good Friday procession for peace down Broadway. The arrests at the Riverside Research Center at 64th Street and West End Avenue, a private research organization with some Defense Department contracts, occurred after some of the protesters threw lamb's blood at officers and others attempted to cross police lines in front of the building. Police spokesman Joe McConville says the protesters are charged with disorderly conduct and menacing. About 40 anti-nuclear demonstrators in all carried an 8-foot wooden cross, an upside-down American flag, and signs bearing biblical verses from Columbia University at 117th Street to the Research Center, where they were met by dozens of police officers. The police say while Berrigan and a group of protesters knelt in front of the building and prayed, several demonstrators threw red paint on officers and others attempted to cross police barricades. Berrigan said the Riverside Research Center was the target of the protest because, quote, they are engaged in formulating very sophisticated next-generation weapons, unquote. Berrigan added that the march and protest was held on Good Friday because we believe nuclear weapons represent the second crucifixion and that the arms race will lead to the crucifixion of humanity. Mike?
A Queens man who claimed that an Air France Concorde jet cracked his picture window when it flew overhead has won a $127 lawsuit in small claims court. Queens small claims court judge William Friedman said yesterday that although there was no direct evidence that the October 23rd Concorde cracked the window, the judge said that he relied on common sense to determine Air France owed the homeowner, Edward Faby, for the picture window cracked by the Concorde flight over his house. Faby discovered his window was cracked after noting the low-flying plane passed over his house, which was more than a mile away from Kennedy Airport. The judge added that he felt compelled to help Faby, who acted as his own lawyer, against the airline, which was represented by a New York City law firm. Judge Friedman decided this court believes that in seeking to do substantial justice, it has the obligation of helping litigants conduct and develop the facts that surround their claims as well as their defenses. He said such an obligation was especially important as in a case such as Faby's, where he was pitted against a major law firm and all of its resources. Upon fair and full analysis, this court finds that no good reason exists why a person's property, even a relatively small item such as a window, should be damaged by the overflight of an aeroplane, and that there be no practical basis of recovery. Eric?
Okay, you got 11 on that one, Mike.
I tied.
Yeah. All right, well, better luck next week, I guess.
Thank you.
Good job, good job. Okay.
We keep trying.
Taking a look at the baseball scores, all right. The Chicago Cubs shut out the New York Mets 5-0. And the New York Yankees were snowed out, rained out, what have you, weathered out. They could not open their season. They won't open it until Sunday when they'll play a doubleheader, hopefully. A couple other scores, Milwaukee 15, Toronto 4, Minnesota 2, California 1, Kansas City 4, Detroit 2, and Oakland 5, Seattle 2. That's after 6.5, and that was in the American League. Other National League scores, Cincinnati 7, San Francisco nothing, Montreal 2, Philadelphia 0, Atlanta 6, Houston 2, and San Diego leads Los Angeles 4-1 after 5.5. And this local basketball score, Boston over New Jersey, 106-103. All right, Mike, you're still there. Great.
Did you happen to mention that the Oakland A's beat the Seattle Mariners 5-3?
Oh, did they win?
Yes, they did.
I had them leading after 6.5, 5-2. They went on to win that 5-3, you say?
Yes, I do have a final score.
Okay, that late bulletin then just came in.
5-3. We know your life is depending on it.
Yeah,
so that's
yeah.
why we mentioned to you at this time.
Could very well be. All right, checking out the weather.
Oh, I have some foreign temperatures, too.
Oh, you want to do the foreign temperatures first?
Well, how about if you do yours first?
Okay, this is more immediate. It's 4 degrees in Stony Brook. That's 39 on the Fahrenheit scale. We're expecting partly cloudy conditions throughout the night. It'll be cold with lows in the upper 20s to low 30s. Tomorrow we're expecting mostly sunny conditions, milder with highs in the low 50s. Clear and cool tomorrow night. Lows will be in the mid-30s. And the outlook for Easter Sunday, cloudy and cool with rain, possibly mixed with snow in the afternoon. High will be in the mid-40s.
Oh, very interesting.
Thank you.
Okay, now time for... Are you done?
I'm finished, yes.
Time for some foreign temperatures. In Athens, it's 54 and cloudy. Bonn, 37 cloudy. Brussels, 38 and cloudy. Casablanca, 64 and partly cloudy. Copenhagen, 37 and partly cloudy. Dublin, 43 and clear. Geneva, 41 and clear. Ho Chi Minh City, 79 and partly cloudy. Hong Kong, 63 and cloudy. Lisbon, 53 and clear. London, 46 and cloudy. Madrid, 56 and clear. Moscow, 37 and raining. New Delhi, 66 and clear. Paris, 37 and partly cloudy.
That's Paris, France, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Peking,
China.
50 and cloudy. Rome, 54 and clear. Seoul, 45 and clear. Stanley, 47 and partly cloudy. Stockholm, 25 and clear. Tokyo, 55 and cloudy. And Warsaw, 36 and cloudy.
And that's it.
Yeah.
In alphabetical order, too.
That, of course, comes to us from the Associated Press. Stanley, temperature this, of course, is in the Malvinas, are the Falkland Islands.
Is there a temperature in Stanley?
Yes, 47 and partly cloudy.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
How about in Buenos Aires?
Buenos Aires. No, it's not.
Capital of Argentina.
Argentina.
No temperature over there.
No.
It's interesting, though, how all of a sudden this news from Argentina seems to have erased all of the news from any other part of the world. Now, last week at this time, or maybe 2 weeks ago at this time,
we probably would have been talking about El Salvador.
El Salvador was what was big, and now suddenly nothing is happening in El Salvador because everything is happening in Argentina. It's as if there are TV shows being shifted around. It's actually countries. But I understand we do have some word of something happening in El Salvador. In fact, what Good Friday was like in El Salvador. So we go now to our correspondent, Gene Palumbo.
According to the official figures, there were 5,000 people here 2 years ago. Now, with the refugees, it's up to 20,000. The nearest city of any size is San Miguel, in the neighboring province of the same name. But as the fighting grows heavier, and the buses between San Miguel and Goteta run less frequently, this location seems more and more remote. What's near, what's right on top of you, is the fighting and the dying. In the capital of San Salvador, you hear about places where nearly every family has lost someone. You meet those families in San Francisco Gotera. Some of them were born here, and recently they've had to contend with firefights breaking out right in town. But most of them are the refugees, who poured in from the hills to the north in the 15-mile strip between Gotera and the Honduran border. Some come from places where the fighting has already reached. Others are from hamlets that haven't become battlegrounds yet, but may before long. There isn't primitive shanty towns on the
fringes of Gotera, waiting and hoping for things to get better so they can go back home. They don't need books or theologians to know the meaning of Good Friday. But still, there is one book by one of the most famous Spanish-speaking saints that bears directly on their situation. In The Dark Night of the Soul, written while he was imprisoned, St. John at the Cross wrote, "Where there is no love, put love, and you will find love." The natives of San Francisco Gotera have put love, and the refugees have found it. And for themselves, the natives have little else to give. But it's been enough to give the refugees a feeling of acceptance. And today they have ventured in from the outskirts to join the members of the local parish in the annual Good Friday procession. We ran through the streets for nearly 2 hours in an extended version of the Stations of the Cross, a devotion that commemorates the death and resurrection of Christ. In spite of everything that would seem to be working against it, there still is a sense of resurrection here. People who live and work among the refugees speak about the spirit of hope they've somehow managed to maintain in the face of things they were reminded of even today. The past week's fighting has left the town without water, and even during this morning's services, gunshots frequently went off nearby. As the killing goes on unabated, and they talk that it may grow worse before long, it seems sometimes that every day is Good Friday here, as an entire people is crucified. In San Francisco Gotera, this is Gene Palumbo.
Okay, I came to us from El Salvador. You there, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay, now, as our special album side, we have a soundtrack.
Oh?
Yes, a soundtrack to a rather famous play, except this one is an opera version. The play is Evita.
Oh, you know, that's funny, because somebody was telling me they went to see that this week, and Evita actually made a rather... rather gesture to members of the audience came as quite a shock to me.
Is that part of the regular script?
I imagine it would be, yes.
Okay. Well, this is an opera based on the life story of Eva Perón, 1919 to 1952.
Mm-hmm.
And Eva Perón is played by Julie Covington.
Not the Julie Covington.
Yep, that's the one.
Oh, my gosh.
Juan Perón is played by Paul Jones.
Not the Paul Jones.
Yeah, and we got the London Philharmonic Orchestra conducted by Anthony Bowles.
And this is WUSB.
Stony Brook. All right, so here we go. Some principal rock musicians. On drums and percussion, Simon Phillips. On bass, Mo Foster and Brian Augers. Lead guitar, Ray Russell, Joe Moretti, and Hank B. Marvin. Keyboards, Ann O'Dell, and harp, David Snell. This was recorded at Olympic Studios, Barnes, London, England, in April and September of 1976.
Did you say Brian Augers in there?
Yes, I did.
A-U-G-E-R?
No, Brian Augers. O-D-G-E-R-S.
Okay, just checking, that's all.
Okay, good enough. So we're going to go into Evita. This is actually side three of a two-album set, right? So let's go right into it, and hopefully these lyrics will have special significance somehow. I don't know how, but let's listen to Evita.
Common enemies, poverty, social injustice, foreign domination of our industries, reaching for our common goal, our independence, our dignity, our pride. Let the world know that our great nation is awaiting, and let its heart beat in the humble body. Juan Perón and his wife, the First Lady of Argentina. Eva Duarte de Perón.
There again, perhaps I'm more than a mere observer. Listen to my enthusiasm, gentlemen. Head on, head on, head on, head on, head on.
Do is look at me to know
that every word is true.
From here, for someone on top of the world,
the view's not exactly clear. A shame you did it all at 26. There are no mysteries now. Nothing can fill you. No one fulfills you. High flying adore. I hope you come to terms with boredom. So famous, so easily, so soon. It's not the wisest thing to be. You won't care if they love you. It's been done before. You'll despair if they hate you. You'll be drained of all energy. All the young who made it with a
people of Europe, I send you the rainbow of Argentina. Spain has fallen to the charms of Evita. She can do what she likes, it doesn't matter much. She's the new world Madonna with a golden touch. Quite an ally who looks as secure in his job as you, but more important current political thought is your wife's a phenomenal asset in your trump card. Underestimating you, just do the same thing in Italy, please. Now, I don't like to spoil a wonderful story, but the news from Rome isn't quite as good. She hasn't gone down like we thought she would. Italy's unconvinced by Argentine glory. Iran with Mussolini, campaign wives.
Did you hear that? They called me a whore. They actually called me a whore.
But Senora Perón, it's an easy mistake. I've had that trouble too. I'm still called an admiral, yet I gave up the sea long ago.
Post-war haze, a beautiful reminder of the carefree days. She nearly captured the French, she sure had the chance. But she suddenly seemed to lose interest, she looked tired.
Face the facts, the rainbow started to fade. It wasn't on the schedule anyhow. You'd better get out the flags and fix the parade. Some kind of coming home and triumph is required.
Forgive my intrusion, but here in this neat little camp, I have a product to change your conception of man. A brand new insecticide, a remarkable chemical feat, instantly rendering other insecticides obsolete.
People gonna see some good times now. Neighbors call the hungry to her, open up the door. Never been a fund like the foundation, never grow. To the poor, to the weak, to the destitute of all complexions. Must an exclaim a little of the cash has gone astray. But that's not the point, my friend. When the money keeps rolling out, you don't keep books. You can tell you've done well by the happy, grateful looks. Accountants only slow things down, figures get in the way. Never been a lady loved as much as ever parade.
There you go, the soundtrack to Evita. A little part of the soundtrack, anyway.
I'm Mike Uhas. I've got the hiccups still.
Still? You've had them for 3 hours now.
Yeah.
Oh, well, is it going to set a record? If someone has an idea of the longest recorded...
I don't care about who has...
Wait a minute. I was just looking at the Guinness Book of World Records today, and I didn't look at that part, but I seem to remember that someone had hiccups for a good 2 weeks.
At least. I think it's probably even longer than that, but...
Although the way they phrased it, they made it seem as if the guy had one continuous hiccup that lasted all that time, which is
awful. I don't know about that, but what I need is a cure. If anybody has a cure for hiccups, call us up at 516-246-7901.
I just remembered there is a cure that I thought of. Wait, what was it? I'm just trying to refer back to my memory. I've had hiccups.
I think the best cure I've ever come across was take a teaspoon of sugar and just let it dissolve.
Let the medicine go down.
Just
Where did I remember that from?
From The Sound of Music or My Fair Lady or something like that.
Yeah, one of those.
Just
things.
A spoon.
Mary Poppins, that was it.
That's it. Helps the medicine go down. Oh, no. You take a teaspoon of sugar and that gets rid of the hiccups. But I've been cutting down on my sugar and especially my salt lately. So that...
I remember what this cure was.
What's that?
Boo! Did it work?
We'll see you in a few seconds.
Did I scare you?
I wasn't sure what you were going to do. No, it didn't work.
Didn't work, huh?
Yeah.
Look out! That got him a little more. Maybe that did it. We'll find out.
I'm starting to fall.
Nope, that didn't work
too.
Either.
So it's kind of
maybe rough. Sarcasm.
No, that would never work.
No?
No.
I don't have any sarcasm right ready at the moment. Well, if you can cure Mike's hiccups, call us, please.
516-246-7901.
It's really a pathetic sight.
For WUSB, this is the voice of Long Island. I'm Mike Uhas with the hiccups.
I'm Eric Corley without them. If you ever saw the x-ray of a hiccup, you wouldn't think it was so funny, from what I understand.
Really? Now, listen, we have something here from Bunkins. It's Bunkins. Swedes on Jupiter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, I've been waiting for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go right into it.
Coal Sack Productions presents this suspenseful chapter of Swedes on Jupiter.
Hey, God, what day is this?
I don't know, Olaf. There is no night and day on Jupiter. Shall I read the Blue Hotel over again?
We never should have listened to that Carl Sagan fella.
He said, leave.
accomplished and versatile actress who appears in the mystery comedy Death Trap, a Warner Brothers release directed by Sidney Lumet, as Michael Caine's hypertensive invalid wife. Her character is a kind of one-woman cheering squad in behalf of her husband's crestfallen career as a playwright. Her role in Death Trap follows her performance in Honeysuckle Rose, where she appeared as Willie Nelson's long-suffering wife, and her Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actress in Heaven Can Wait, where she played Warren Beatty's maliciously devious wife. Similarly, she received her first nomination and the New York Critics Award for yet another wife in the role of Alice in the 1969 hit comedy Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. Other film credits include The Anderson Tapes, The Last of Sheila, and Revenge of the Pink Panther. You've worked on the New York stage and you've studied with famed acting coach Sanford Meisner, in addition to your television and film credits. How seriously do you take the craft of acting?
I've never thought about taking acting seriously. Maybe that's one of the reasons I have so much fun with it. It's real important to have fun with acting. It's important to learn the scales. If you're a classical pianist, you can't play classical pieces without learning to practice the scales. But I've put my time in doing that, and now when I get out there, I have a good time with it.
Do you see acting as a stepping stone to something else? Greater involvement with film?
No, I just see acting as acting. I think my unfoldment has come now to include writing and producing and directing. I wrote and directed a movie called Number One. I edited, I scored it. I had a big hand in it because I didn't have any money. Or else I would have hired all those people to do all those different things to me. And we were very fortunate because we got an Oscar nomination with it. But I learned a great lesson from that, because so many people in Hollywood think that you have to spend a lot of money in order to make a good film. But I think more important than spending a lot of money is first and foremost your idea. You have to make sure that your idea is good and that your idea is served. So many times in Hollywood, egos get in the way of ideas, and that's when a project suffers.
Has it always been clear to you that this was your life's work?
Always. I was starring, directing, and producing productions in my family's garage when I was 5 years old, making money and putting it away for my first bike. Yeah, I've always known that this was it.
What would you consider your first real break?
Oh, gosh. I guess the way it happened. But I guess for the most part, Bob, Carol, Ted, and Alice was the film that put me out there, so to speak. I had done a lot of work before then. I did a few soap operas. I'd made several other films. I made a film in Europe that was never released. I'd made a couple of what they call B-movies. I had tremendous experience. I'd done matinee theaters. I'd probably done a couple hundred television shows and 2 years of soap operas and all kinds of stage before Bob, Carol, Ted, and Alice. But that was when the public, I think, first became really aware of me.
How did you get involved with the Death Trap project?
Sidney Lumet sent me the script. Said, I want you to do it. I said, I don't think I should, Sidney. Why? I said, this woman is very unreal. I don't know. I can't get a handle on her. He said, well, why don't you read it and then call me back? And I did. And I'd worked with Sidney before on a movie called Anderson Tapes with Sean Connery. And I thought about working with Sidney and Michael Caine and Christopher Reeves and Irene Wirth, and that thought was very attractive to me, so I did it.
You seem to have achieved star status in a series of likely roles. How do you feel about that, and how does this compare to your character in Death Trap?
Well, people have been asking me that lately, so I tend to trust it. They've been asking me why I'm being asked to play all these wifely roles, and I wasn't really even aware of it. I have been aware lately, though, that I'm not playing those kind of parts anymore. And the part that I do play in the up-and-coming Al Pacino film called Author, Author is not a wifely role. But they did ask me to play his wife in it. They came to me and asked me to play his wife in it. And I said, no, I'm not going to. And so they offered me the part of his girlfriend. I'm very pleased with the opportunity of having done that. Happy about it.
You have a knack for comedy, which most film critics have found ingratiating. Is this something you look for in a script or prefer to do?
I think comedy should be a part of everything. I mean, if we get up in the morning, as we go through the day, we're going to laugh and cry and be frustrated, and probably a lot of those things will happen to us. So comedy is a natural part of life, and I'd be very grateful if it were focused on more. I love it, and I enjoy doing it. Now, Myra Brule, who are playing Death Trap, people find her funny. That was a very tough part to play. Comedy is real tough.
Does this skill integrate with the Death Trap plot? Your comic talent?
Well, I hope so. Death Trap is about a man who's failing in life. He's a very successful playwright who's now writing unsuccessful plays. He's married to a woman who's very wealthy, who wants to encourage him, and he's about to do something very bad, very wicked, that she's trying to deter him from, and she doesn't.
How did you prepare for the part, and did you have the opportunity to rehearse with Michael Caine and Chris Reed?
Yeah, Sidney Lumet, a very clever director. I think he's, in this area, one of the best I've ever worked with. He takes 2 weeks to rehearse a film before he shoots it. So by the end of those 2 weeks, the actors know we're walking the whole movie with parts just where we'll walk on the set. Does it just like a play. Right along with us comes the cameraman, the cinematographer, the prop man, the set decorator, so that everybody, by the time they get on the set, knows where the camera's going to be, knows where the actors are going to be, know where the props are going to be. And I think that's one of the reasons he brings his movies in 4 or 5 days ahead of time. It also gives the actors a chance to be comfortable with one another and with their director, which is real important.
Are you satisfied with your performance?
Oh, I don't know if I'm ever satisfied with a performance. I tell you what pleases me is when I hear audiences respond. I went to an industry screening last night, and the audience was composed of industry and secretaries and taxi drivers seemed to enjoy it, and I'm always grateful. I'm always grateful, but I'm always seeing things that could be different.
What advice might you offer aspiring actors?
Go on what you feel. Listen to everyone around you. Listen to what they have to say. Don't throw it out. Chew it up. Then if you don't like it, spit it out.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yes, we're the Voice of Long Island, and we're about ready to leave now.
Yeah, well, we want to get out of here.
Yeah.
Especially you, Mike.
I had one suggestion, and that was to drink a glass of water upside down.
Didn't we go through this before once when we had people calling up trying to solve your hiccups?
That could well have been.
I seem to remember that.
Yeah.
And there were some rather nasty suggestions back then.
Really?
Jumping off high buildings, soaking ahead of water for a couple of hours.
That's true, too. Well, listen, you know, it's about...
Neither of which worked.
That's true. It gave us... gave me some bruises, but... in any event, it's almost 3 o'clock on a Friday night, Saturday morning
type thing. We'll be back again...
Next week.
And
at our respective times on Tuesday and Thursday night.
Maybe we can get through to the Falkland Islands next week.
We're going to give it a shot.
If you have any suggestions...
Or any other interesting
call us,
people.
246-7901 is our number.
Area code 516. So I'm Mike Uhas.
I'm Eric Corley, and
it's been fun.
Yeah, Anthony White's up next, so stay tuned.
To WUSB
in Stony Brook, like.
Good night.
Bye.